Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another serving of Business Soup Talk Radio. If it's in business, it's Business Soup. I'm your host, John Dibbevoise. Attract and scale. What does that mean? Well, if you want to know how you can get high-ticket items and sell them without the big ad spend, listen up, because Lloyd Yip, he's going to be talking with us from his company, Attract and Scale, on how to get high-ticket items that you can sell without the big ad spend, how to avoid the high cost of Facebook ads and yet get the same qualified leads. How does that happen? Well, pull up a chair, sit on down, because Lloyd Yip is bringing you the best ingredients to attract and scale right here on Business Soup. Lloyd, welcome to this serving of Business Soup.
All right. I am hungry and thirsty and ready to dig into that soup.
Well, we're going to give you a bigger spoon if you answer all the questions right. So, Lloyd, you are known for helping businesses or coaches and things about teaching them how to get to a higher level of sales, primarily in high-ticket sales. Your business, Attract and Scale. What does that mean, attract and scale? And then we'll get into the ticket price.
Yeah, for sure. Well, in the beginning, my business was actually just my name. And then I kind of got bored of it because it didn't really mean anything. People would go to my website, they wouldn't really understand what I was doing. And after a while, I realized, like, wait, why don't I just make my name exactly what it is that I do? I help my clients attract more customers and scale their operations, scale sales and marketing and client acquisition. So I ended up just naming my company after the exact definition of what it is that I help my clients achieve. Now, on the topic of high ticket, you had already brought that up earlier as to my focus points. I primarily help people that are working with online offers. So maybe that's like a coach or a consultant that's primarily working with customers online, or maybe that's like a software founder of a SaaS company, or maybe it's an agency owner or a recruitment firm owner. All of those types of companies are primarily online offers, and they're usually pretty expensive, a couple of $1,000s per ticket price or per offer at the minimum. And that's really where I find my sweet spot, because that's actually where I spent the vast majority of my career, even before building my company. So that's just really where I best understand. But attract and scale, it's pretty, you know, self-explanatory, primarily helping folks that are building higher expensive ticket price online offers scale and get more customers.
All right. So let's say that I have a product. Let's say I have a subscription for business services. What qualifies it for a high-end ticket? And what are you going to tell me when I call you up and say, I have this product, I'm going to sell it for, you use the example, a couple $1,000s or more. Or just use the $2,000. So what are you going to tell me as to what are the top things that I need to do to address the order in which I go about selling my high-end ticket business services software as a service?
The reason why I like higher ticket offers in general is because I find that it's much easier to scale a company that way. Because to me, it's always going to be easier to find five customers at, say, $5,000 each than it is to find 25 customers of like $500 each, right?
Right.
It's just when it comes to the lead generation, you don't need to generate that many leads to generate a decent amount of revenue if each of your offers are priced pretty expensively. Now, to be fair, in order to justify that 5K price point, using that as an arbitrary number, you got to make sure that your offering is really, really awesome. And we're probably not going to touch on that too much in terms of this conversation together today.
Okay.
But assuming you actually have an offering which is amazing and justifying that price point, I think the funnel and the methodology in terms of client acquisition can be pretty simple compared to anything else that's much, much cheaper. I think that the more inexpensive your offers are, the more complicated and more sophistication you need to add to your funnel. Whereas when you're selling something that's much more expensive, you can get away with having less sophistication because you're just really relying on generating a smaller amount of leads. Now, to your question, you said, how do you actually go about finding these customers then if you are selling something that's higher ticket? To me, it always comes back to the most fundamental understanding of how marketing works. It's who are your customers and where do you find them? Now, if your customers are, let's just say, fitness coaches. I'm just making this up arbitrarily, so bear with me. But let's say you're going after fitness coaches. Well, I suppose when it comes to fitness coaches, where do they spend their time? I'm sure a lot of them are on Instagram. Instagram is a very visual platform and fitness people tend to be quite visual. But I'm certain that you could go to YouTube as well. And there's a ton of YouTube people that are focused on fitness. The nice thing about social media today is that regardless of who your audience is, there tends to be at least a couple channels digitally that you can reach out to them. Now, is there a single channel that might be best for your audience? Certainly. For example, if you're going after HR managers at 50 people and higher companies, then LinkedIn probably makes the most sense, right?
Sure.
So the first step to me is always going to be, all right, identify who your audience is and their characteristics and where they spend time online. And then once you identify that, pick the channel or two that you think has the highest density of those people that you think you can actually spread your message and reach out to them on. And that's really where you begin your marketing. Does that answer your initial question?
Yes, it does. And it leads me into what is considered to be wasting money. So many of us will throw money at different social media platforms like Facebook. I hear people say, hey, I did some Facebook ads and it didn't work. They keep changing or moving the goalposts there at Facebook. So it takes somebody who's a specialist in Facebook to understand what is the best way, in my experience, to actually get some Facebook sales. But you say that a business can have more cost-effective ways than just throwing out Facebook ads and other social media ways. How is that possible in this technology-driven society?
Yeah, you're totally hitting the nail on the head. And it's only getting harder to advertise across almost any platform, but Facebook is a prime example of a platform that's getting harder and harder to advertise on. Some of your audience and your listeners might know this, but I mean, Facebook has a tendency of just banning a lot of their customers. And I suppose Facebook has so many customers that they don't really care very much if they lose one or two, but it's pretty infuriating for a small business owner that might be depending quite heavily on Facebook to just lose their ability to advertise for rules that are pretty not transparent and unbeknownst to them. And then it's only going to get harder because more people are building online companies and trying to advertise, fighting for the same ad space. And Apple's actually releasing some new features for an advertiser. You can call it more like a restriction, but it's preventing advertisers from being able to track and being able to build customized reports and whatnot. So it's only going to get harder because of some of these restrictions around privacy and whatnot. So the reason why I think it's really important to leverage organic marketing online is because it simultaneously helps you save a lot of money. Because naturally, if you're not spending on your marketing dollars in order to get customers, then you're going to have much more money and much more of that revenue to keep for yourself. But it's also to prevent you from just being so much at the whim of Mark Zuckerberg and the rules that are just going to exist in any of these platforms, right? So to me, I think organic marketing is really critical. Now, for anyone who's listening...
Well, let's hang up for a second. What, for everyone's understanding, of we're talking about the different types of marketing and we're picking on Facebook at the moment, but you're talking about organic marketing. That's a term that is so generic and is thrown out there so much. What does organic marketing mean to you if I call up Lloyd Yip and say, I want you to do some marketing for me or help me with my marketing and it's organic? What does that mean?
That's a great question. And it's actually really simple. And part of the reason why it's confusing is because it's so simple. Organic marketing is more or less just marketing where you're not spending on ads. It's free media, it's free traffic. Now, granted, what is a requirement for you to generate this free traffic is the cost of time and the cost of effort.
Sure.
Because nothing in this world is truly free. When it comes to like traditional paid media, you're paying with dollars. Whereas with organic media, you might not be paying directly with dollars, but you're paying with your time and your energy and more or less using a grassroots method to muster up some traction. So the reason why I think a lot of people get confused is because technically underneath this umbrella of not paying for advertising, there's a lot of different things that you can do. You could, in theory, share content on Facebook. You could reach out to people cold on LinkedIn. You could start a YouTube channel. So there's a lot of different options for you, but all of these has a certain way of getting customers, as long as you understand that your customers are in fact in that particular channel. And then even more importantly, how do you actually utilize each of these channels effectively? Because as you probably have noticed, a lot of people are trying to share content on Facebook or trying to share content on LinkedIn and not getting anywhere. A lot of people do email campaigns and it doesn't really generate any traction. So the question isn't as much, oh, like, do we even do organic in the first place? I think most people realize that it's important because of those aforementioned things that I mentioned before. The area that people get stuck around more so is, how do we even make organic work? Like, which channel do we even use to begin with? And once we pick, how do we actually identify the most appropriate and effective strategy? Naturally, why I have the success that I do with my clients is because I can give them a little bit more specificity in terms of where they should focus. And then once they decide the channel of interest, how do they actually scale that and how do they make that work for them?
In the areas of social media marketing and such, there's a lot of drive towards getting people to sign up in groups. Like, I have one, the Business Soup Insider group. And that's so that I can be in touch with them and solicit them and make them offers. How important is that? Is that market changing because of the dynamics of Facebook? And
yeah, that's such a good point that you're bringing up, John. And Facebook groups are obviously the most well-known group. I mean, that's literally in the name.
Right.
And for good reason, I think that Facebook groups, as the feature set is concerned, is probably the most robust way to build a community. And community is awesome, right? Like, if you think back from even before digital was a thing, community was often the most powerful mechanism of generating sales. Because word of mouth, what is word of mouth? It's just your friends telling you about stuff that they enjoy. Or what is, like, say, going to your community center and seeing a billboard or seeing an event happening where all of your neighbors and people in your neighborhood, they're really excited about a certain thing. That's all community, obviously done in decades past. But it leads people to transact and purchase things that maybe otherwise they wouldn't have purchased. Now, the power of living in the decade and the year that we do now is that community has evolved online. It's now more of a digital thing than ever before. And Facebook groups has just been such an easy way for you to connect with other people that share common interests, whether it be about marketing or even about the most random stuff in the world. I have a client that actually helps folks overcome celiac disease. And I don't really know much about celiac disease myself, but it's cool that there's communities of thousands and thousands and thousands of people out there that all they do is talk about celiac disease and how to overcome those problems in that community. So it's a great place for you to be able to be the host and for you to be able to bring other people that are experienced and excited about that topic. And then if you can bring that tribe together, you will eventually be able to market to them if you are that trusted leader, if you will. Now, Facebook is one example of a community, the most obvious one. But I think that technically, if you were to build a YouTube channel, or if you were to build like a subreddit, or if you were to start a podcast like yourself, what you're doing now, technically all of these channels are communities as well. So the question is partially, how do you build a community? How do you share the right content to the right people in a really engaging way so that they know, like, and trust you? That's always going to be an aspect of this entire strategy. But beyond that, I think something that people have to ask is, if you want to monetize, if you want to actually generate clients from that, how do you leverage your community in a way which generates customers? Because what you don't want to have happen is to spend 4 years building a podcast and then have no clients coming out of it, but everyone loves you. It's like, that's great, but it's not necessarily going to get us to where we want to go. We want to build the audience and we also want to monetize. So that's something that I think people need to keep in mind when it comes to content marketing, that there needs to be some additional thought put into, okay, like, this is cool, but we got to actually try to drive money out of this as well.
And as far as driving the money, when someone calls you up and says, all right, Lloyd, how can you help me take my software as a service? I've got this great app. I've got this. What are you going to do for me to help me get this training program, this software application? How are you going to help me create the buzz to make it happen?
Why don't I start from the assumption that, let's say you have nothing. I don't want to alienate anyone here who is still like relatively early or trying to solve online marketing. So let's assume that this person in question is like straight up going from scratch. The first thing that they need to do is, of course, build that audience. And that's step one. Where is your audience? Let's say they're that aforementioned group of people that are, you know, HR managers of companies with over 50 employees, all right? Given that audience, LinkedIn might make the most sense for them. Okay, LinkedIn is now our chosen channel. We got to first get that buzz going, right? Before we ever think about monetizing an audience, we got to have an audience to begin with. This person has nothing. So how do you start building that audience? There's really two ways of doing this in the beginning that are not paid. And the first way is to just do outreach. That's pretty classic. I actually began my career in sales as a door-to-door salesperson. And it's funny how a lot of those skills that I developed by just knocking on 150 doors every single day carried over, because cold outreach digitally isn't that different from just knocking on doors. Of course, the channel in which you're doing it is different, and the way in which you converse is a little bit different. But at the end of the day, the level of activity to a degree just leads to how much output that you get, how many results you get. Of course, you could send out 1,000 messages, and if the messages themselves are really bad, you're not going to really get anywhere far. So you don't want to be overly robotic. You don't want to overly rely on automated tools out there that take the humanity out of your messaging. You want to be intelligent, and you want to have something that actually shows that you've done the research and shows that you understand about the problems that the customer might have. But that is one aspect of how you could build your initial audience when you're starting from scratch, just doing outreach, all right? Now, the second way of developing your audience in the beginning without spending much on money is content marketing. Content marketing is great because if you can post content that speaks to the problems that your audience has, and you can show them that, hey, here are a couple novel solutions or ideas that maybe you haven't considered, they're going to gravitate towards you. And by doing so, you're earning that know, like, and trust factor. And that way, you can start to have them want to consume more and more of your content, which eventually down the line allows you to monetize. To me, I think you should do both. It's not a matter of one or the other, because here's the analogy that I think you'd like, because you were telling me before we started recording that when you were younger, you were always going to bars. You loved meeting new women, meeting new people, and socializing.
Now, let's tone this down here. This is a business show here. Let's not reveal too much about the young John.
All righty.
Fortunately, long before social media ever came into play. I'm grateful for that. But yeah. Continue. Go ahead. You know, you've thrown it out there.
Here's an analogy that I use because I'm still in my 20s. I'm still single and looking to meet more people. If you are strictly doing cold outreach, if all you're doing is like sending cold emails or cold direct messages, I mean, it'll work, but it's numbers game, right? It's the same as if you were a single guy in your 20s and you just hit on the next 100 girls that you see on the street. Would it work?
Maybe. Good luck with that.
Yeah, exactly. Good luck with that. Even if it does work, you're going to burn through like 7 hours of your day just to get a single phone number. Not the most ideal situation, but it can work if you have a huge capacity for pain. Yet, if you look at the flip side, which is just content marketing, it's as if you're the attractive guy at the bar and you have like a cool outfit on, but you never approach any people of the opposite gender. You're expecting and hoping that they approach you. Well, I mean, some of them might be feeling especially bold, but let's be real, the vast majority of the time, that's not going to happen. Even if the other person thinks you're interesting, they're rarely going to actually take the initial approach. So to me, if you're doing just cold outreach, it's kind of ridiculous because it's just not very intelligent. But if you're just being passive and waiting for people to come to you because you think that you're that awesome of a person, well, that's also kind of silly too. To be both things together, where you're pushing out content and you're engaging people, you're creating traction, you're getting people to comment, like, share, engage, and maybe they don't directly just reach out to you for help, but you don't need them to, because instead of waiting for them to just come to you, as long as you even get the smallest signal of interest, whether it be that they give you their email or they just said, hey, this was really cool, thanks for sharing. Even if it's that small of an interaction, now you have a signal as to, you know what, I'm going to reach out to that person.
Well, leave it to a single guy to talk about dating in a content marketing approach. You know, it's all about content and distribution. Distribution is the most important part. If they don't know or you don't get the message out to them, they're not going to approach you, whether it be to buy your product or dance on the floor. They're just not going to come to you, whether it's a product or you're out having a good time.
Exactly. And the cool thing about just following this basic philosophy of combining outreach and taking initiative and content, which is building that know, like, and trust factor, is that this is a very non-sophisticated business if you think about it. I'm not telling you to hire a big team. I'm not telling you to like invest $20,000 into your website. What I'm saying is fundamentally quite simple, yet it's actually what got me to $30,000 a month. And of course, since then, we've added a lot more sophistication to have gotten us to a much greater level. But if someone is building an online business and they're trying to sell something that's relatively high ticket, the reality is if you're selling something at $4,000 or $5,000, to hit that 20 or 30 grand mark, you only need to close like 6 or 8 clients per month.
Sure.
And to generate 6 to 8 customers, assuming you can close, say, like a third of them, you only need to generate between 30 to 40 sales calls. this strategy is more than enough to generate 30 to 40 sales calls if you're working full-time hours and you're creating like relatively interesting content and you're willing to take the initiative of following up and actually talking to all of those people that might be a customer. It's hard work. It does require a little bit of hustle and grind, but to be honest, it's nothing particularly sophisticated. And the cool thing is when you do want to add that sophistication, it allows you to do so and really bring your business to the next level.
What about text marketing? We've been talking about organic marketing channels, and which is the best way? We have email, we have the social media, we have, as you point out, the podcast. There's so much attention being given to text marketing and the ability to send images as well in text marketing. How does that fit into getting my message across, and how do I use that?
I will say that there's no concrete answer because it is very dependent on the audience. And it's also dependent on where you think your efforts are best focused on. Because what I will say about any company that has minimal resources is that you can't do everything at the same time. Although we want it all and we can have it all, we can't have it all at once. So solving just podcasts alone, you can attest to the fact that it's quite hard to master the art of podcasting and to generate customers from it. As is mastering the art of YouTube, as is mastering the art of chatbots. Now, any of these channels on their own are very effective, but it's going to take some time for you to really monetize it. So to try to juggle four or five simultaneously is really hard unless you have a big team and you're willing to suffer and make some mistakes. So I will say text is great, as are chatbots, as are almost every other channel that you've heard of on podcasts, but there's a time and a place. So just look through the context and the lens of your own business, understand where your audience spends most of their time and how do they enjoy getting reached out to and what's the modem of conversation that they appreciate and like. And then from there, we just kind of knock it off one by one. For me, I go after like online entrepreneurs, coaches, consultants, agency owners, software founders. They happen to be in a lot of places, right? They're on Instagram, they're on podcasts, they're on Facebook, they're on LinkedIn. But when I began, I didn't try to do everything at the same time. I did LinkedIn first, I solved that. And I was like, you know what? This is pretty automated. This is pretty self-reliant and self-sufficient. I don't need to work very hard for this to be maintained. It kind of just generates meetings for me now on demand without much effort. So now that I've solved this channel, let's move on to the next thing because then I can multiply horizontally. But in the first 3 months of trying to solve this new channel, it's kind of a pain, right? My first 3 months of Facebook was a lot of experimentation, a lot of trial and error, a lot of manual figuring it out. And although now it's actually my biggest channel, it is now my most effective generation of clients. For the first couple months, it wasn't that at all. It took a lot of time to solve it. And if I was trying to solve LinkedIn and Facebook at that time simultaneously, there's no way I would have succeeded. Now, what I'm trying to work on is podcasting. I'm trying to figure out how to really monetize podcasts. And this is one of my biggest projects at the moment. And if I was trying to juggle this and something else, it'd be quite hard, I would say. So I know it's a bit of a detour of an answer compared to what you asked, but I don't want to necessarily say that text is better than anything else because it is very dependent. And what I do want to say is that the philosophy is understand that what's good for you might not be good for someone else. Really look at it from the lens of your capacity and also from the lens of where does your audience spend time and how do they like to conversate, if that's even a word. Is conversate a word?
It is now.
It is now.
Exactly. It is now. That's right. So the act of multitasking and the promotion of trying to incorporate the Instagram, the Facebook, the LinkedIn all at once, you're moving forward, but you're moving in multiple directions at the same pace and not getting to one destination quickly. And what you're saying is that first master one, and then you can, do you repurpose the same content to go into each one of those platforms?
Really interesting question. And I think there needs to be an innate understanding of how each of the platforms work in order to really monetize. And that's why it's well worth it for any entrepreneur to take their time on each of their platforms and understand where the differences are. For example, with Facebook, you're able to get away with longer form written content because there's no word limits. And something as small as that actually makes a huge difference because now you actually see on Facebook, a lot of people making long articles. And that's actually how they generate customers. Whereas on LinkedIn, you're not allowed to write more than 1,300 characters. So the rules within the platform itself kind of define the way in which you share content. Instagram is obviously very visual. Now, people do write long captions there because there's not much of a word limit there either. But if you don't have good visuals and good imagery on Instagram, you're not going to succeed. And YouTube is obviously these days about polished and well-produced videos. So you can repurpose content to a degree. Let's say you're making a video. You can take that video's content and then turn it into a blog post using the same substance. But then you obviously can't just directly copy and paste it because it's a totally different format. And then you could also splice up content. For example, if we're doing a podcast, you could cut this up into like five little mini videos and throw that up onto like Instagram or whatnot. So it's like understanding the way in which each platform works from just a format perspective and understanding that first. And then you can splice and dice and repurpose to your, you know, heart's content after the fact. And this is really where you start scaling, right? Because in the beginning, when I talk about keeping things simple, just doing one channel of content and then reaching out to people on that channel, that's innately simple. But then once you're trying to do multi-channel, you need to add a little more complexity. But when you do, you can start actually getting into the 50K per month, 100K per month, even some people, seven figures per month types of businesses. But at that point, because you're doing so much content repurposing, and obviously you're trying to maintain conversations directly with your leads on every one of these channels, at that point, you probably do need a sales team and a marketing team, maybe not a marketing team per se, if you're still at the 50K to 100K mark. But if you're trying to repurpose content, you probably need at least like one marketing manager to help you with content production and content distribution, because that's the type of stuff that you don't want to be doing yourself anymore as a CEO when you're at that level. Because a CEO should be focusing on strategic things, right? Like, where should my product development and roadmap be going? Or who should I be hiring? Or how do I manage the talent of my team? At some point, you can't be the one who's doing all the sales or all the messaging or all the distribution of content or making video graphics. Like, obviously you can't sustain that forever. So that's really where the additional complexity and the sophistication comes in. And when you can solve that, it's not like the foundations or the fundamentals of sales and marketing have changed. You're just now doing it at a bigger scale and you have additional help and additional processes that help you actually do it at a much wider scope. And that's more or less how I've tried to build my business. And that's how I always recommend my clients to build their businesses too. To first solve client acquisition at a smaller scale in the beginning, but then eventually, how do you actually hand that off so that you can do it at a larger scale?
Well, show me the money. Lloyd, let's talk about the great opportunity that you're offering my audience at BizSoup here through your company, which is Attract and Scale. What are you offering my audience that they can't get elsewhere?
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, if you're building an online business, if you're selling something that's relatively expensive, whether you're a coach, consultant, course creator, agency owner, you name it. I'd love to be able to speak with you, of course. You can reach out to me. I'm always accessible on Facebook, on LinkedIn, on email. And you can just set up a quick time to chat with us. And we can literally give you a customized call where we audit your organic strategy. We also have webinars and trainings on our website that can train you on how you can really equip and leverage this system so that you can scale your own business without any ads. And actually, something that I built just for your audience there, John, is we have a quiz. We have an online assessment where if anyone is curious, the state of their own organic marketing, if they're curious, you know what, like, am I on the right path? What are the strengths and the weaknesses of my own marketing engine right now? This quiz just has a couple questions. You answer them and we're going to actually give you a fully customized and personalized report that gives you your weaknesses and also where you should improve your own business today. Literally, you can finish that quiz in 30 seconds, but it's going to give you this amazing report afterwards. That's going to make you think about a lot of different things that you haven't thought of before. And to find it, it's actually really quite simple. My website is attractandscale.com, spelled exactly as it sounds. And then the plug is just organic. So that's attractandscale.com/organic. And you will arrive at the quiz and you can just check it out, 30 seconds to fill it out. And you'll have yourself a pretty awesome overview of how your company can improve in 2021 and beyond.
Well, I want to thank Lloyd for that offer. And of course, where business comes for business, just go to BizSoup. And all of this information and the links and such are always there where you can get not only the podcast, the transcripts, but the link to Lloyd right there. Lloyd, I want to thank you for that offer and as well as being a guest here on the program. And we hope you'll come back and share more tips, tools, and techniques about Attract and Scale right here on Business Soup.
Thank you so much for having me, John. Really appreciate it.
This has been another serving of Business Soup, where business comes for business. I'm John Debevoise, inviting you to visit the website for more servings of what is best in business.